allow me to be perfectly honest. There are times that I wonder, is it really worth the time and the effort and what needs to be done to create and produce this radio program and podcast each day? Is anything positive being accomplished? Is anything good coming out of this? And most important, are any lives being changed?
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to the weekend edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. I have to admit, there are times, after doing this program close to 4 years, there are times I get frustrated. There are times that I wonder, is it really worth my time and effort to produce this radio program, to have to dig through all the awful news that is out there and the stuff that just tears you apart. I spend a lot of time reading stories I really don't want to read. Spending a lot of time doing things that I'd rather not be doing. And I wonder, is it worth the effort? There are times that days go by, I hear nothing from anybody, no listeners responding to the program, and I'm not talking in just terms of financial, which is always helpful to pay for shortwave airtime. I'm saying just people saying, Bob, I listen. The program is helping. I'm learning, or whatever the case may be. And so, look, I'm like anybody else. I'm getting at an age is... time is limited. How much time do I really have left? I'll be 70 this year, and my health may hold for many more years, and then again, with what I'm dealing with, it may not. You never know. So, is the time I'm investing in doing this radio program each and every week? This program is produced 5 days a week, and the Friday program is called the Weekend Edition because it does air on a few facilities just only on the weekend. Are you benefiting from this program or not? Is it helping you or not? Are you learning something you don't learn from somewhere else or not? After all, if all this program becomes is just another news outlet, another podcast, another little radio program, if all I'm doing is duplicating everything you're hearing from some of your favorite commercial news media, then why should I do this? If you're learning things on a theological level to help you in your walk with Jesus Christ from other sources, do you really need me? And so I'm asking this question legitimately to you today. Is this program worth the time and effort that we put in? Should I consider maybe giving it an expiration date and winding it down? Is it worth trying to worry about paying the shortwave airtime bills each and every month? Only you can answer that question for me. And I'm hoping that somehow, over the next week or two, you will. That you will let me know that you're listening and how this program is helping you. I know that for many, many people will just write a program occasionally. And most people that listen never make contact with any radio program. They never call, never write, never support. I understand that. But lately, I sometimes think maybe it's the economy. Let's be honest, this economy is not great. Here in the United States, no matter what they try to tell you in terms of politics, no. Inflation has risen the cost of goods, and those prices have not really come down. People are making less than they were 3.5 years ago, and people like me who are retired, remember, I don't get paid to do this radio program. I'm not paid to be the pastor of my church. In fact, nobody is paid to do this radio program or produce or anything. This is a one-man operation, essentially. Without the help of Jim Calhoun on a couple of episodes a week, it would even take more of my time. And he volunteers his time too. We buy shortwave airtime on Truth to Ponder for a reason. I believe that shortwave radio is a wonderful medium for alternative programs. A lot of people say the internet is, but then again, the internet can be manipulated in ways that are, trust me, there are a lot of people that produce podcasts and they wonder, why is nobody listening anymore? It's because the powers that be that distribute your podcast, they can minimize your audience. You're at the mercy of the tech tyrants and giants when you produce a podcast, unless you have, which most don't, your own platform. It's the world in which we live. I keep thinking about the world that we are in today, and I remember earlier this week on Tuesday, I was thinking back to the 1960s, where I think one of the greatest pivots occurred in our society, starting in the early 1960s, and it just kept going and going and speeding up over a period of 60 years. Things that we accept as normal today in our world would have been unheard of 60 years ago. Things have changed at a pace, and it's not just technology. I mean, stop and think to the 1960s from the beginning of the 20th century, 60 years before. In a period of 60 years, we went from kerosene lights and horse and buggy to cars and color television sets and radio and jet airliners in 60 years. Yet the moral standing of our society was not that destroyed like it has been in these past 60 years. In 120 years, the United States and its moral character have been decimated from within. And the same is true in Canada, the same is true in Western Europe, the same is true in the United Kingdom. It's doubly true in New Zealand and Australia. This eating out of the society from the inside out. And that's why I wonder, does anybody even care anymore? I see church bodies, entire church bodies, have just turned their back on God, cursed him, spit in Jesus' face, and demanded that God do it our way, not us doing it God's way. Entire denominations rejecting scripture, rejecting truth, changing the meaning of the gospel, turning Jesus into something that we control. And it's very disturbing. The word love has been destroyed in our culture today. I go back to thinking the Beatles song way back when, "All You Need Is Love." But what is love? In the Bible, the word love, as we translate, has seven different distinct meanings. And when you confuse the meaning of the word love and its contents, or context, you are running a dangerous gambit in terms of human relations. We have church bodies that want to love everybody and everything, and they want to love and celebrate every sin. They think that is being inclusive and being kind. What is being kind is being truthful and telling people what the Bible actually says, not what you want to believe that it says. So entire church denominations have gone apostate, cursing God. I've watched it over the past 30 years, this march into hell, because that's where they want to be. I've watched a society that says they were once Christian, never really was in recent years. Many people that now call themselves, you know, agnostic or atheist, they're really nothing more than neo-pagans. They believe in a science that is based on paganism, not real science. Human construct means nothing anymore. So I ask the question again. Do I continue to bring you the news? Do I continue to give you an analysis? Do I continue to share the good news of the gospel? Is it worth my time to continue doing this work? Because I'm going to tell you, some weeks it gets really hard. I know that last week, it was a rough week. We had to get radio shows done in a short amount of time because we had to travel for a funeral. and then get back and conduct services, and then start it all over again this past Monday doing the radio programs. And some weeks it's harder than others. And this week, well, it's been one of those weeks where it's harder than other weeks. And I feel, well, more tired than I normally do. And I really believe that it's just the weight of dealing with all of these stories to see my country just unraveling at the seams. I said on Tuesday, and I want those that listen in foreign countries, I know that we are broadcasting on the weekends across the continent of Africa. And I want you to listen to what I have to say carefully. Most of the news you get about the United States and our politics is generally a big fat lie. If you're listening to the BBC, it's garbage. It's a lie. You can't trust the BBC. You can't trust the CBC. In Australia, you can't trust the ABC. In Canada, you can't trust the CBC. And American networks, corporate networks, they lie. And they do it willingly because they are pushing a pagan narrative. Moloch worship, which is abortion. Transgenderism, which is Ishtar worship. These are old pagan gods, which are nothing but old demons. They've been around all this time. They just come out with a new way to present themselves. And of course, worshiping the planet or Gaia worship. All of this is old demonic stuff, just recycled. And I wonder, week in and week out, is anybody benefiting from the radio program that I'm doing today? Am I helping you understand the complexities of the world in which we live? Are you learning something you don't get from other media? Honestly, even much of the conservative media and alternate media that I find, I don't trust some of it either. Some of the networks, good example, Fox News. They were pushing vaccines real heavy back when they were first out. Even people like Sean Hannity became a shill for pharma companies. Even though many people were questioning the value of the COVID vaccine and would it work or would it not work, nobody would allow an honest discussion on that topic. It became one-sided. Of course, time has proven much of what we said here in this program to be true. This mandated vaccine in many nations has killed people, injured people permanently. It never stopped you from getting or spreading COVID-19, so what was the point? And did it really lower your hospital or death risk? The evidence is now clear it did none of it. Zero. If anything, it provided a danger to many, especially young children. So do we continue doing this program? Do we continue digging for the truth? Do I continue to have to wallow in these stories so I can distill them in such a way to give it to you in bite-sized, understandable pieces and put it in the light of what God's Word says? If you want me to continue, I really need to hear from you. You can send me an email directly to my personal email address. Nobody else reads the emails but me. That is Bob@truth2ponder.com. Bob@truth2ponder.com. If you'd like to support this radio ministry, you can do it from our website, also truth2ponder.com. Truth2ponder.com. By the way, we use GiveSendGo, a Christian online financial processing corporation. They've been wonderful to deal with. We've been using them now, I think, almost 3 years and have never had an issue with them yet. I know there are a few people that like to use PayPal. If you need to use PayPal, you can just send me an email and I'll give you the information. I don't generally publish it, but if you have to, I'm more than happy to accommodate. Or if you prefer, you can make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510. The city is Chilhowee, C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E. Chilhowee, Virginia. And the zip code in Chilhowee is 24319. Once again, make the check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, 510, Post Office Box 510. Chilhowie, 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 Virginia. And the zip code in Chilhowie is 24319. That zip code again is 24319. P.O. Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
The world's most famous prostitute. Coming up. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving some real special free gifts in a moment. We know Mary Magdalene as the prostitute who came to the Lord. In the movie Jesus of Nazareth, she's shown as a feisty, loudmouth, impulsive prostitute. On Broadway, she's the prostitute who sings, "I don't know how to love him." We all know she was a prostitute. Well, do we really know that? Well, there are scriptures about a sinful woman, and people match this up with Mary of Magdala or Mary Magdalene. We have no reason to believe it's really her. Pope Gregory the Great, he was the first to link it all together. And he said that basically she was the prostitute who wept at his feet and etc. Well, all we know is that Mary Magdalene had demons. She was delivered by Messiah. Now, whether she was into prostitution or sexual immorality, we don't know. But nobody questions it. She's become the world's most famous prostitute. Imagine you come to the Lord and then from generations you're known as a prostitute, the world's most famous. What do you think she thinks about that now? I don't think she cares. Why not? Because being with Jesus, Yeshua, is enough. It's always enough to be with him. So listen, my friend, it doesn't matter what people think of you. Most of the time they're wrong anyway. It only matters what Jesus, Yeshua, Messiah, thinks of you. That's it. It only matters that you're with him now. So stop worrying about what people think of you. Start rejoicing in what God thinks. Get away from caring about what people have in their minds. It doesn't matter. It means nothing. Get close to God like Mary Magdalene. It's all that matters. It's all that's going to matter in the end, getting close to him. Because when all is said and done, Jesus, Yeshua, Messiah, he's enough. Want more? Ask for Magdalene on CD. Now, what if you could receive daily vitamins guaranteed to strengthen your spiritual walk with God, a 6-month supply for free? Well, you can with Sapphires, your daily spiritual vitamins for victorious life, and updates on Israel, world events, and prophecy, and the incredible Mystery of the Temple Doors on CD. You're going to love it. All free. How do you get these free gifts? Easy. Just remember Yeshua, Jesus' real name, and you dial it. That's it. So to receive your free gifts, just call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1. You will be blessed, but call now. Well, that's toll free, 1-800-YESHUA-1. YESHUA and the number 1. Now, you can actually spread salvation around the world for very little through shortwave radio from the Arctic Circle to Jerusalem. It's amazing. It's like sending a billion tracks around the earth. How? Just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's YESHUA and the number 1. Or you can write me direct. Just write to the nice Jewish boy at Box 1111, Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. It's a nice Jewish boy, Box 1111, Lodi, New Jersey, 07644. Till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying, walk with the King, my friend, be a blessing with him. Shalom in Messiah Yeshua, Tenu, our salvation.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you back to part 2 of our weekend edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. One of the things that I do in my life here in my so-called retirement, besides producing this radio program each and every day, God opened the door to start a mission church here in Southwest Virginia where we spend a good amount of our time. Trinity Chapel, it's a small church building in a little town called 7 Mile Ford, technically Marion, Virginia. That's about a 15-minute drive from our little house. We're a small congregation, and I'm thankful for the opportunity that I have to share from God's Word with that congregation each and every week. For a small church, we have a big footprint. I mean, we are a small church. Yet we are on the verge of building an FM radio station to serve our immediate community. 7 Mile Ford, Chilhowie, Marion, Adwolf, these immediate towns around us. fully licensed by the Federal Communications Commission with the call letters WMYC, My Christian Radio. We plan on building it this summer. We also stream our services live on the internet from our website via YouTube and Facebook and other locations. And they can be seen either live or you can watch them later, as many people do. It is even on a Roku channel that we have. If you have a Roku TV set, the channel is called Ancient Word. Ancient Word. And if you have Roku and you have Ancient Word, you can see the church services and even hear this radio program. This past Sunday, I preached to my congregation, the third in a multi-part series. There's going to be a part four, but this is the third. And I talk about the church militant and the church triumphant. A lot of people don't even understand that term. And why Jesus Christ is the solid rock. It's our foundation for all the things that we ever hope to or aspire to be. So right now, I'd like to take you inside of the sanctuary of Trinity Chapel in 7 Mile Ford, Virginia, so you can hear this message. Heavenly Father, as we come to this time that we gather around your word, I pray that you will open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to receive what you have for us. For this I ask, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Today, I call this message part three of We Are the Church. And before our first anniversary, when I was thinking about what to preach on that Sunday and the idea of preaching about the church and who we are, and we are the church, not a building, not a denomination, not a group, not a fellowship, it's the people, it's those that are called out, the living body of Christ, the ecclesia, that fancy biblical word, we are the church. I never knew a month ago, as I thought out this idea and made some mental notes of the concept of being the church. And I had thought about getting to part three or four, depending on how many parts. I was going to talk about two things: the church militant and the church triumphant, really terms that have been around for thousands of years. What is the church militant and what is the church triumphant? Simply put, the church militant is the body of Christ living today on this earth. All of us in this room that claim to be followers of Christ, we are the church militant. Brings to mind that old hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers, going as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ our royal master, you know, we probably remember from our childhood. Sounds kind of militant, warlike, Christian soldiers. I thought Christians were just nice, quiet people that didn't bother anybody and loved everything and everybody and never bothered anybody. I read a lot of stuff that St. Paul wrote and even Jesus said, and that doesn't exactly jive. But that is the modern day interpretation of what Christians are supposed to be. Just gentle, loving everything and leaving everybody alone and never pushing their values on anybody else. They just do their little thing and you stay over there and you don't bother us now. And yet we are called out to share the things that we know, to share what God has revealed unto us, that God has given to us. That is the church militant on this earth. We live here. In our psalm today, and I'll kind of paraphrase it, do not put your trust in princes or the sons of men or the son of man. Some translations will say into political leaders instead of princes or people or politics or any of that. Those people are going to die, and so will their philosophies and all that goes with it. Put your hope in things eternal into God above. That's what the psalmist said. As an aside note, and I'm not going to get deeply into this because I do my best to avoid politics what I preach, because there's plenty of other time to discuss that. But I had a listener write me and saying, I'm ready to give up. I'm going to just burn my voter registration card and just quit. I'm not doing it anymore. I wrote back and reminded him of two things. Number one, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and unto God the things that are God. Number one. So yeah, we may be not of this world, but we're in it, and so we still have a responsibility to it. I mean, I said, it's just like, okay, I give up. I'm not going to pay my taxes on my house anymore because I don't believe in it. That doesn't work that way. We still have obligations and responsibilities. And I said, what I always say, here's your starting point. I'll leave it at this. Vote for the person that has the less negative impact on your faith and your family. That's the best you can do. Leave it at that. Just assess it at that. And also remember, you're not voting for the head pastor of a church, no matter what the office is. Just who's the least threat to your faith and your family. That's it. And the rest of it is all, well, whatever. I don't want to get into it. Putting our trust in God. Hope eternal. See, I didn't realize that I'd be moving so quickly from the church militant to the church triumphant until yesterday. And in a way, it kind of concludes the series of We Are the Church. Number one, let's kind of remind ourselves where we have been. We are the living body of Christ on this earth, and every one of us in this room has a part and parcel in that. Every one of us. Well, Bob, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a teacher, I'm not a seminarian, I'm not this. There's always plenty of excuses out there of the things we can't do, yet somewhere there is something in each and every one of us that can be given to the church. You know, the funny thing is, remember something that Jesus talked about, the widow's mite. Remember that? That's the one that didn't have much to give. But from what little she gave, Jesus looks over at the Pharisees and everybody around and even his disciples and said, you know, her gift was greater than anybody else's. She gave from all that she had and not from some leftover in her abundance or some wonderful talent. I mean, she gave all that she had. And her gift is more honored. That doesn't apply to things just financially. It applies to things that we have inside of us and talents. You know, I know people that can preach vastly better than I could ever hope to. More scholarly, more learned, even more refined and even more entertaining, whatever quality you're looking for, more than I have to give. Yet, I decided a long time ago, I'm just going to preach as God has called me to preach to those he has called me to preach to. I've met people in my ministry that had talents I never knew they had until we had a need and they showed up to take care of something. Whether it's instructing young people, whether it's leading an adult Bible study, whether it's planning things for the church to do to reach out to the community that I would never have thought of doing, just you'd be surprised the talent you may have deep buried inside of you that God is ready to, well, switch on. I think of the man I spent time with yesterday. He saw something in me. Now, I had always thought I had a calling on ministry, but I had gotten to the point as I'm getting hit to about 40 years of age, it's not going to happen to me. I'm set in my ways. Even at age 40 or 39, I was getting set in my ways. I had a good job. It was involved in ministry, and I thought I was involved in a church, and this is all I need. And this guy saw something in me and said, you know, you could really be an asset. And I'm going, to do what? Well, he guided me, pushed me. You don't even know this. When I was debating, is it worth getting into the ministry? He said, I've got a clericist to attend in San Francisco, California. And he said, I want you to go with me. I'll pay for your plane ticket. Come on. And so he flew me with him to this conference of clergy, small group. And I had the chance to meet their head honcho, so to speak, their archbishop. Never knowing after that meeting what a life-changing meeting that was going to be, had the opportunity to meet this guy. We were having dinner at one of those fine restaurants I'll never forget. Believe me. Somewhere I think I've lost them, though. I used to have the salt and pepper shakers that came from there. Trader Vic's. Kind of a pricey restaurant. And I didn't even have to pay. I couldn't have afforded it anyway at that time. I was working at a Bible college. And had the chance to. I remember looking at how much they would charge in their souvenir shop. And I teased the waiter. Said, man, I wish I could afford a set of these things. They were kind of expensive. And he just looked at the ones on the table. And that we were wearing sport jackets. And he put them in my pocket and said, enjoy. So that's where the set came from. I never expected a month later to get a phone call from that leader saying, I've been praying about you and God has just laid you on my heart. He said, I think you really need to be in the ministry. So here's what you have to do, A, B, C, D, and D, and you got to have it done by. And that's how the process started. I was railroaded in. And you met the guy that pushed me there and was there for that ordination. I never would have believed that over the years I would rise to a higher rank than him. Who'd have thunk it? It wasn't ever supposed to be. I consecrated him as a fellow bishop back in February. And all his family has like 7 kids. They're all grown up now. And like I say, I knew these kids from the time that they were like 10 through 15 or 16. Or 17, they were all back. They just came in straight order. But I knew them all then when they were kids. And to see where they have gone now, and now to see one gone, I wrestled. Oh, you don't know how bad I wrestled. For days, what am I going to say? I knew another clergy was going to be there that would talk about the family stuff. But how do I tie it together from God's word? What can I say to give comfort? This was a packed house. Hundreds of people. Hundreds. And I have to walk out with a group of people the size of this church that's all family in the front. And I'm how do you explain to these people? And I'm going, Lord, what do I say? And even during the him before I spoke. I'm sitting up there in the front going, Lord, I got nothing. I have nothing. I've been wrestling. And I walked out in front of the congregation. And this is important to understand where we're going on this because it really does fit the message. I said, Lord, you know in our hearts none of us want to be here today. That just came out of my mouth. Lord, you know that none of us want to be here today. It's a beautiful Saturday. We could be in so many different places, but we are here. We need to be here. And I'm looking at the family, and they're nodding in agreement. I said, but the reality is, Lord, and we should know this in our hearts, that all of us are destined to be like this here one day. And I'm reminded what James said, life is but a vapor. What the psalmist said, teach us, Lord, to number our days, because we don't know what that number is. I remember many, many years ago, a pastor made this statement, and I was probably not much older than the young kids here today. I mean, we're talking maybe barely able to understand and comprehend. But I remember it. It says, the day you were born, God knows the exact number of heartbeats you will have. You probably don't. Make good use of each and every one he gives you. Each and every moment he gives you. See, that's what it means to be the church militant. The Bible says, while we have time, let us do good unto the household of faith. While we have time, there is work to be done in the field. While there is time, while we can. We don't know if it's going to be our end, our time. And trust me, when I first got the diagnosis that I had to wonder for a while, is this it? Am I going to be gone in 6 months or a year? And of course, it appears I'm going to have a lot more than that, God willing, and it looks good. But you know, I knew one thing, and I really had to debate this. I'll be honest, there are times that I want to quit and just say, Lord, I've had enough. I can't do this. I can't do the radio. I can't do the radio station. I can't do a church. It's just too much on me. But then I'm reminded to use that time, and I get a chance to get a little rest. And I realize the importance of even the little things that I do. I'm not a Billy Graham. I'm not some well-known evangelist. I don't have a church of 5,000 or 17,000 people, or like where my daughter in Georgia goes, a little church that used to be the size of this back about 50 years ago that's now building an auditorium to seat 1,500 and have to do two services because they still couldn't get them into one. I may never have a church that big. That may not be my calling. But I have the church that God has given me. Let's put it this way. A local assembly would be a good word for it. A local gathering. The local church at, as the Bible would call it. And the church that gathers with us pretty good substantial number each Sunday by the means of video and radio. A unique ministry, one of which I'm thankful for. If I can't preach like Paul, as the old hymn once said, if I can't be a dynamic person of the faith to charge into battle, in a spiritual battle, you know, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. If I'm not that guy, if you're not that person, you might be the one to share the message of the gospel with a small child, to help in their instruction, to reinforce what they're learning at home, to make it all make sense. Maybe it's the person that can help run video for something like this, and we have someone that does it or does the bulletin. You'd be surprised how many things have got to be done each week just to get ready for this service. And each little piece that I don't have to do gives me a little bit more time to prepare for this time I share with you. All of us have something to give. How many remember, think about this one for a second, how many remember that wonderful Christmas song? I thought it was kind of cute. A little drummer boy. We've all heard that. Little drummer boy. Everybody came with their great gifts to the manger. And like I say, it's not a scriptural thing, but the little drummer boy, all I have to give is my little drum solo for the Savior. To which the Lord said, thank you that it was not a bagpipe solo, but everybody has something. And I think we forget that. I have met people in my life in church settings, and they would come and we would have a message like this, and I would hear from somebody saying, you know, but yeah, it sounds all good, Pastor, but what do I have to give? And then you pray through and you discover there is a really wonderful hidden treasure there they never tapped into. And when they do, what a change it makes in that person and in the church and in the gathering. Because, see, the body is now complete with all the pieces and all the parts functioning together. You know, it's like a jigsaw puzzle. If you're missing a few pieces, it doesn't look right. If you have an erector set, remember those things? I mean, I do because I'm old. I had one, you know, with a kind of a motor they would never give a kid today that plugs in the wall with exposed wiring and no ground. But I had one. But if some of the pieces are missing, you can't complete the project. And it's unfinished. The work of a local church is the same way. Until all the pieces are functioning together, you're always hitting this glass ceiling. You're always never quite completing the task. You're not quite getting there. And a lot of it has to do, and it goes back to the psalm. And that's why I put this on the cover of the bulletin. Blessed are those whose hope is in the Lord their God. And that's, like I say, sometimes we put all our hopes in the wrong things. Our jobs, our careers, our politics, our aspirations, our careers, our retirement funds. We have all these things we put our hope and trust in. And, you know, yet we are not quite trusting God. I remember, and you've heard this story, I don't think any of you ever had. My late wife and I had taken a call to a small church in Florida, a mission church that could fit pretty much in the first, right through here, just this side, with room to spare. And they were meeting in a terrible little storefront that was, as I've mentioned this before, was furnished from things they found in the dipsy dumpster behind the Goodwill store. That's how bad. And I remember when I looked at that place after looking at two established churches, I'm going, Lord, what are you doing to me? This is really where you want me to be? And I knew in my heart, yeah. And it took a little while to wrestle it through and then to answer God's call to say yes. And I did. And it was a struggle. But thankfully, God had provided the resources for me to at least live and, you know, take care of my bad habits of eating and sleeping indoors. You know, if I didn't have those bad habits, it would have been a lot easier. But God saw us through, and we were getting to a crossroad. We had grown, finally got to 35, 40-ish, and I had some really great people on there, and I had one guy that I thought was a great asset because of his background in business. And I learned that lesson, do not put where to put your trust. He believed when we had been given a substantial gift to add to our building fund, and I felt it was time to really move forward fast. And he was like, well, not so fast. He said, I think we should invest this and maybe wait 5 or 10 years. Now, he's like pushing 70, so he just wants to play with the money and see it invested. And I'm going, I don't think God wants us to do that with his money. Sorry, I just don't feel it. And I said to him in that meeting, I said, we have to learn to trust God. And he looked at all of us and said, well, we can only trust God to a point. And I paused and what's the point? And he couldn't answer it. And I suddenly realized he puts his trust in the princes, in the bankers, in the sons of man, and he's not putting his trust in God. See, his job prior to retirement, he was the chief investment officer for General Motors Retirement Fund, and he had an office in New York City on Wall Street and commuted from a very prestigious neighborhood in Long Island every day. And now he lived in a country club setting in Florida and another one even bigger in Colorado. That's where they divided their time. And so he had made his money his way, and he didn't have the trust in God. It's like, yeah, I trust God, but I trust me more, is what he was saying. And I knew that he and I were about to come to loggerheads, and it wouldn't take long. And by the grace of God, he left. And he took his big monthly or weekly contribution with him. And there we are at that crossroad. Do we build a church or not? Once he was gone, it's amazing, twice this happened. Once one individual was gone, many more came to replace him. Only in God's way, only in God's timing could that ever happen. And then we made the move forward to get a church building, and then God opened the door to buy a $1 million church building at half price. And we had the down payment, and we got the loan approved in literally 5 minutes at a bank. Walked in and got it. I need $400,000. Okay, we'll get this thing. When do you want to close? Only God could put that together. I got the picture of us signing all the paperwork. God provides for his people if we put our trust in him. We are the church. We are those that are called out, and we are part of the living body of Christ. We are in this world, but we are not of it. I recognized in that service yesterday, and we're going to be finishing early, I know. I don't want to just belabor all this. And I want to make sure that I get this part out correctly. When speaking to that family, it was heartbreaking for me because I know them so well, and I've known them for so many years, and I watched these youngsters had grown up over the years and had been very successful. And I say this carefully, and we don't know. I can, from what I know, this guy that died, that we buried and said goodbye to yesterday, I don't think had a clue that morning that today was going to be his end. He firmly believed he'd be back at his very well-paying job on Monday, that everything was going to be fine in his life. He'd been going through some difficulty. That much I'll say. But nothing that the Lord could not have overcome. And sometimes when we make certain decisions and put our trust in our friends, but not what God has for us, we come on the losing end. Thankfully, I know the young man's heart. It's some good news. Sometimes we can make some really bad mistakes in our life. Oh yeah. Even God's chosen, God's beloved, his body, the church. Yeah, we can make some mistakes. But there is not a sin that we commit save for one. By the way, how many of you ever heard the term the sin against the Holy Spirit? The one unforgivable sin. Here's some good news. If you ever worry that you committed that sin, you did not. You could not. It's impossible to have committed it if you worry about it. Can't happen. The Bible explains why. Because you're then given over to such a delusion and believing the lie that you would still curse God. You would never worry about committing it. You're done. I've had people that came to me that said, I think I may have blasphemed the Holy Spirit, and I can't go to heaven. I'm going, if you even think that you did, you didn't. You haven't given yourself, you haven't done it. Bible is clear. You have the ability, I believe, to forfeit what God has given you, but God's not going to take it away from you. There are those that I read about today and other days in recent weeks, former Christian singers and artists that suddenly have rejected God and they're atheist. They made their living singing wonderful songs in concerts and churches, and now they say God's just a myth. The Bible says we're sealed to the day of redemption. And yeah, we are like children. Oftentimes we can go astray. Oftentimes we can do things we should not do. Oftentimes we do terrible things. Yet what does the Bible say? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and restore us. You know, if I didn't have that promise, and I look over my lifetime, especially from the time that I was a teenager and knew better, to the time that God really settled me down. If I had not had that promise, and I can think of the years that I was not really following, not really being obedient, not really being the child of God I should be. I've been there. You know, the world has a lot of attractions. And our egos can get in the way and the things we want. And it's so easy to push the things of God aside for expediency. And you have all the reasons why I can't. Well, you know, Lord, I can't do this because I just bought a new cow and or an oxen, and my oxen keeps falling into the ditch. You know, Dwight L. Moody had a great line when somebody used that when they were talking about gathering together. The Bible says, forsaking not the assembling of thyself, which is the manner of some. This one guy said, well, you know, Pastor Moody, but the Bible says if your oxen falls in a ditch on the Sabbath, you know, you can retrieve it. And Moody said, yeah. And if that was the case, I think I would get myself a new oxen. If it keeps falling into a ditch, something wrong with that oxen. Maybe it needs to be oxen meat or something. But not, you know, that's one of the problems I think we have. We try to find ways to negotiate with God. You're not going to win. How many times have you seen in the Bible where somebody negotiated with God? And God already set the parameters. Who came out on top? Not me. God always does, but then again, God knows what's best. Even in something like we dealt with yesterday, I really believe that by God's mercy, I think we'll understand someday when we gather together. I said this in the closing remarks. I opened the service saying, Lord, I wish none of us had to be here today. None of us want to be here today. But all of us have to be here for an event like this, whether for somebody else or for ourselves. But there's going to be a day when we are gathered together that we are going to want to be here when we cross to that other side. The good news about being the church. A bumper sticker I saw in a car in 1974. Christians, we are not perfect, just forgiven. It's not anything that I do, you do, or I do for you. It's what God, by His Son Jesus Christ, has done for you to change your life. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this time that we can share from Your Word. And Lord, I hope that all that I said made some sense to somebody today. Whatever crisis somebody is facing, whatever doubt somebody has, whatever fear somebody is dealing with in their own life, we know, as Your Word said, life is but a vapor. And we learn, Lord, we're supposed to number our days, never knowing what that number is. Teach us to use all that You have given us, to give what we have unto You. And Lord, I learned and I've seen that as we give unto You, You multiply it back unto us, no matter what it is, the gift that we bring. Lord, teach us to be better servants. Teach us to be better listeners. And teach us to be even more faithful as we continue in Your grace. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking.
time is just about up for this weekend edition, and I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen, and I hope the message that you heard blessed you. You know, really, I'm a pastor at heart more than a newsman. I spent years in broadcast, spent years in news, but God opened the door to ministry, and that's really where my heart is. Sure, in doing this radio program, I'm willing to do it if you really want to listen. Would you pray about even supporting it? We could really use the help. I give my time. My time is free, but the airtime on shortwave is not. And lately, the income has been down, and that's why I come to you to ask. Maybe for the first time, you can give that small gift. Maybe you've been thinking about supporting, and well, now's a good time if you can do it. If you can, it's pretty simple. Visit our website, which is truth2ponder.com. truth2ponder.com. You can support us from there. Also find out the many ways to listen. Or you can make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio. Post Office Box 510. 510. Post Office Box 510. Chilhowie, C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowie, Virginia, and the zip code in Chilhowie, Virginia is 24319. Once again, make the check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319. And until next week, may God richly bless you.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.